Showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Cut last night's program a little bit short, but something I got hold of me. I think I'm better this evening. At least I hope I am. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb, too. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room for the 3 hours in which this program is live. 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday, and 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or Pacific Daylight Time, also Monday through Friday. I was logged in there for a minute, but now I'm not. Hold on. The mysterious ways of technology. But there we are. Yeah. Feeling some better. Thank you, Jimmy, for asking. If you wander by, Anatole and Jimmy are waiting to greet you. And I presume that Sparky is still probably out of luck and out of power and out of patience. Because the number of people without electricity in California is climbing. Primarily because, well, when we came up with the idea of stringing electrical lines through the woods to deliver electricity to homes, you know, about 100 years ago, we thought we had it licked, but we didn't. And as Terrace said in a note earlier, leaving iPhone batteries to die in Northern California, what if strong winds and high temps could generate electricity without causing cancer? Or, for that matter, forest fires. But this technology doesn't exist. Sad. Now, Terrace's obvious sarcasm is well taken, because if, back during, say, the Carter administration, instead of having people say, oh, he gave a malaise speech, they would have said, you know, that guy's a nuclear physicist. We might want to pay attention. What do you say we, the people of the United States, in order to form that more perfect union, go out there and start subsidizing putting solar panels all over the place so that we can become less reliant on hydrocarbons and foreign oil and domestic oil, for that matter, and coal and gas, and it'll probably be a pretty happy world. I bet people will thank us for it, say, 40 years from now, back in 1979. And we would. We'd talk about what visionaries the adults were back then. And they'd probably still be carving Jimmy Carter's face into Mount Rushmore. But as a nation, we are, as I am wont to say, atne ute aitbre, if you one what I een me. Mm-hmm. And so, consequently, something around a million or more people in California have no electricity because the utilities have to turn off the power to keep the power lines from frying the forests and burning down half of the state. And don't think for a minute that that doesn't cause me some consternation because, well, electricity reaches the magnificent Kincaid Mansion and the fabulous Horn Studios therein through a series of wires that are strung on toothpicks through a forest. And it's a mite droughty here, too. We just don't have the howling winds yet. We'll have, at least traditionally, we will have a couple of days of serious high winds long about late November, early December. That's when it happens here. Oh, but this program begins with gratitude. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude because you are the ones who keep the Horn going. So thanks go out to our subscribers for the 10th day of the month. Thank you to Daniel, and thank you to Don, and thank you to Judy. Thanks each and every one of you for being a subscriber and setting yourself back to the tune of, about 11 or 12 cents per hour of programming through the course of the month. Thank you. Thank you kindly. One of these days, maybe we'll have 400 and there won't be any more weekly goals or daily goals or anything like that. But because of the way the week has gone here in the first full week of October, the fundraising goal for the evening is at $490. That means today and yesterday have not yet been met, and there's $90 remaining from Tuesday. So 490 is the goal. If we would all jump on board, well, we could have that knocked out, 49 people at $10 or 10 people at $49 or any combination thereof. And, that's how we keep it going. Email coming in early from Kyle. Bob, there you go, talking about how Americans could and should do things and vote for politicians that would help make life better for them again. You should know by now that we don't do that in this country. No, we vote for Republicans who do things to benefit themselves. Meanwhile, Steve in New York observes, shutting off electricity to keep the forests from burning doesn't sound very first world country-ish to me. Well, that's because we're doing all in our power to stop being a so-called first world country. We've got 0.1% of the people in this country who want to live in that world, and the rest of us can just till the fields and be serfs or helots or peons or peasants or villains or vassals. Right. But it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And gosh, I was going to come on with a little history lesson about that neck of the woods where a little genocide is now unfolding, thanks to our partners in peace, our NATO partners, the Turks. Yeah, and Nitwit Nero's letting it happen because he's got a couple of bedbug-ridden flea-bag. Probably 90% bordellos in Istanbul. Which, of course, used to be Constantinople. In other words, Constantinopolis, Constantine City, founded by the Emperor Constantine in the 4th century of the Common Era. And maybe we'll get to that. But as is so often the case, the plans that I formulate for this program at the beginning of the day, you know, when I'm just sort of getting my eyelids open and checking in to see what those multimillionaires are doing in the morning who tell us what to think and how to feel. And I'm thinking the program's going to go one way, and then halfway through the day it takes a completely different turn. Uh, obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Lee in New York. Tonight there's a new Star Trek Discovery short Trek mini episode with all the new series that could be written. They chose Tribbles. And I saw the other one with Spock and Number One. It was quite good. Well, hey, we haven't seen Steve from Georgistan for a while, a couple of days. Hey, Steve, you now have a capable pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy in the chat room if you want to wander by. Hey, Steve. It would be helpful if I could type. There we go. So, like I said, and in regard to the Kurds, Steve in New York observes, looks like Trump is making a run at W's 1 million dead number. Unfortunately, yes. We'll get there. We'll get there. But there I was, just cruising along, thinking the program was going to go in one direction, when lo and behold, it went in an entirely different one. I was ready to talk about the betrayal of the Kurds. I was ready to talk about Lev and Igor, bosom buddies of Rudy Giuliani, Lev and Igor, who work shakedown trade with in Ukraine. On behalf of Trump and Rudy Giuliani, Lev and Igor. It sounds like a tacky, low-rent Dave and Buster's for Slavic-speaking countries. Come on down to Lev and Igor's. Kids will enjoy many bowls of borscht. Yummy, yummy borscht. With potato-flavored gummies floating in. And many, many video games. Come on down to Lev and Igor's. But Lev and Igor are real people, because this whole thing is rapidly devolving into a script that they'd bounce you out of any office in Hollywood if you offered it to them. Now, listen, I got this treatment, boss. So there's this president. And he should never be president because he's a skeevy businessman that everybody's been laughing at for 30 years. But he finds his way into the presidency. Oh, shut up. No, really? Well, just give it a chance, boss. And he's got this guy who's a friend of his, and his name sounds like he's a monster, Giuliani. Right. And when his wife speaks, she sounds like the Bride of Dracula, and she likes to build tennis courts. No. Get out. I don't ever want to see you around here. You'll never work in this business again. Then along comes Lev and Igor. Yes, it could. It's true. Jack in Shreveport with lovely idea. Is truly big ha-ha funny. Jack in Shreveport says, I was thinking more like Slavic Ren and Stimpy. Lev and Igor. But then I realized, no, really, what Lev and Igor is. Oh, sometimes there's just no winning. Darlene in Connecticut says, how was it? Was it a beautiful day in West Virginia? It was. High, puffy, floaty clouds just marching across the horizon. Darlene says, I've never been more upset that it was a beautiful day here in Connecticut. I was scheduled to have all my windows replaced in the house and a slider installed in the living room today and tomorrow in preparation for winter. But the weathermen were all saying that today would be raining, downpours, high winds, fire and brimstone, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria, etc., 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 in the words of Huell Brenner in The King and I, all from some nor'easter spiraling off the coast. But it was a non-event. It was a glorious, sunshiny, warm day with nice breeze. Now I have to wait 2 more weeks, and who knows what the weather will be like then. Oh, I know. I know. It gets frustrating. It does. And meanwhile, Steve in New York says, Lev and Igor sound like cheesy brother trapeze act in cheesy third-rate Russian circus. Igor, help me with the bags. Okay, you take the blonde and I'll get the one with the Toybin. I've been repeating that in my head all day. Actually, ever since I heard about Lev and Igor 2 or 3 days ago. Because, you know, you couldn't have a nice little criminal conspiracy running in this White House with a couple of guys named, Frank and Harry. No, we get Lev and Igor. How do you even I'm sure I'm being culturally insensitive, but fuck it. You know, these are maggots, okay? Igor, it's Rudy. Yeah, hey. You got any more? You shaking any more money out of the trees? So we'll get to Lev and Igor, because they'll wait. They're cooling their heels right now. No. The program turned itself toward high or low, depending on how you look at it, comedy today. And there's still a Lev and Igor connection, because Lev and Igor also sounds like say, hilarious knee-slapping morning Zuku Rukru program from Moscow 97.2 Didasha. Lev and Igor in morning. It's really cold out there this morning, Igor. How cold is it, Lev? Is so cold, could not tell if Vladimir Putin's friend was dead or just freezing. Oh, I kid, he was dead. Vladimir Putin has no friends. Yeah. No, you remember when, what is it with South Carolinians? Any of the South Carolina expat or inpat members of the Horn Family Community Congregation want to chime in on this one? The hell is it with South Carolinians getting punked by the Moscow Morning Zoo crew? Because that happened again. You recall back when Nimrata Haley got punked by the Moscow Morning Zoo crew into acknowledging as ambassador, United States ambassador to the United Nations, she acknowledged the burgeoning political crisis with the island nation of Binomo, which I should note doesn't exist. And we dedicated almost an entire 3-hour program to that audio. Because nobody else did. And we wondered, I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket, I mean all of us, the community, we wondered how it was you could be so shown up to be so utterly unqualified for your job and still get to go on and keep on being United States Ambassador to the United Nations. We wondered back then how Nimrata Haley could go on being considered a political heavyweight in Republican circles. We wondered about that a whole lot. And, of course, every time Namrata Haley's name comes up now, I can't help referring to that again. For instance, there's a contingent inside the White House that would like to ditch Mike Pencilneck Geek as Trump's 2020 running mate in favor of Namrata Haley, who got punked by Lexus and Volvan, Moscow in the morning, Zoo Crew. Now let us go to Moscow morning helicopter for traffic report. Is no traffic in Moscow. Moscow highways, glorious example of stunning Russian engineering. Is no traffic, is no helicopter. Is not needed. Well, they're back. Lexus and Volvan, having had such hilarious success with Namrata Haley, decided they'd call another proud son of South Carolina. They got hold of, yes, of course, why not, of had to be. They got hold of deeply self-important Senator Lindsey Graham and convinced the precious Lindsey that they, and by using they, I don't mean that Lexus and Volvan are somehow non-binary. I mean Lexus and Volvan are third-person plural. They're two separate individuals, thus we refer to them as they. Lexus and Volvan got hold of Lindsey Graham and convinced him that they were the, wait for it, Turkish defense minister. Yes. Alexei Stolyarov and Vladimir Kuznetsov. Known near and far as Lexus and Wovan of Moscow Morning Zoo Crew. Mm-hmm. Well, Politico got wind of it all. They called Precious Lindsey's office, and Kevin Bishop, who is a spokescreep for Lindsey, said, "We have been successful in stopping many efforts to prank Senator Graham and the office, but this one slipped through the cracks. They got him." Yeah, they got him. Because you might recall that Lindsey has been fulminating passionately about the Trump's betrayal of our Kurdish friends. I mean, he's really upset. He's even thinking about canceling his appearance at Ashley's barbecue at 12 Oaks. You might want to get the hockey puck. Maybe. Or maybe you just want to listen in sheer wonder. I mean, this is a seriously tenured member of the United States Senate. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who has sworn that he will out the whistleblowers. Don't forget the duct tape.
Graham's office, Debbie.
Hello.
Hello.
This is the Ministry of Defense of Turkey. Could we transfer the call to the senator?
Yes, just one second. He's on the floor voting, but we're going to have to try to reach him. So bear with me, okay? Just one second.
They're going to pull him off the floor of the Senate to speak to a guy who says he is Minister of Defense of Turkey. And, you know, who knew that the Turkish defense minister spoke with a Moscow accent? So not only did Lindsay fall for it, Debbie there in the office fell for it too. Really? The hell's wrong with South Carolina? First Imrata Haley, now Lindsay.
Okay.
It's okay. We will wait. We have time. Lots and lots of time. We can sit here on hold. No snickering. No guffaws, please. Mm-hmm. Still waiting. It takes a long time to get from floor of United States Senate through basement all the way to Russell Senate Office Building. It's long, long way. Russell Senate Office Building is oldest and furthest away from Capitol.
Hey, tell him I'm hurrying. I'll be right there. I certainly do appreciate the opportunity to talk to these high-ranking foreign officials. I do, truly. Donald Trump is going to be so proud of me.
Yeah, doors. Doors opening, doors closing.
Okay, I put through. Okay. Minister is online.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Minister Lindsey Graham. Hello.
Oh, good day, Minister Senator.
Well, I really appreciate you calling me. Thank you for calling me.
Me too. Thank you for taking the time, Lindsey, to have such an important conversation.
Yes, I want to make this a win-win if we can.
I will be winning.
I know that you have already held the talks with my colleague, the foreign minister.
Yes, foreign minister. Yes.
Yes. And therefore, I would like to talk to you through my ministry. And
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He learned to say yes, sir, like that real good and official sounding like that, because, of course, he's an officer of the new United States Air Force Reserve, JAG Corps. You know, Brother Deacon Asa asks a high-quality question here. I mean, I'm all for access and transparency, Bob, Asa says, but why the fuck is it so easy to get a hold of your elected officials on the phone? Does anyone have Trump's cell phone number? I need to ask him for a green card. There's a flaw in your reasoning there, Asa. Because if I started dialing right now and kept on dialing until Election Day of 2024, I would never have not one phone call with neither one of my senators. I say 2024 because that's the next time that Joe Manchin's up for re-election. Joe Manchin, Shelley Moore Capito, no. We're not getting through. I mean, if I was calling to tell either one of them that there are a million, that there are 1,000 West Virginians every year who die from exposure to toxic waste from mountaintop removal sites, fuck, they're not taking the call. Oh, hell no. But, see, that's the thing. Lindsay figured there was something in it for little Lindsay if he took Glorious call from Glorious Foreign Minister of Glorious Turkey, who sounds like he is from Glorious Mother Russia. Yes, I agree, Todd. Todd says, by the way, that is some fucked upness in the South Carolina senator's office. But Lindsay takes these calls because a lot of times they wind up being beneficial to Lindsay, if you understand what I mean.
Probably, you know, yesterday I talked with your new secretary, Esper.
I did not know that.
Yes, we are trying to find a common ground on the safety line.
Yes, good.
Which is not easy for us. As far as I understand, President Trump has entrusted you with this negotiations.
Let me tell you what he told me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to impose sanctions on our ally, Turkey. I want us to move toward a free trade agreement. And mm-hmm. I've convinced my Republican colleagues to stand down that right now the system's not activated. So there's no reason to talk about sanctions, and I'm hoping you can work with our military to get the S-400 in a good spot so that we can move to a free trade negotiation.
That's perfect, and yes.
Well, so right there, Precious Lindsay admits that he has sold out American foreign policy. The S-400s that they're speaking of course, are the Russian anti-aircraft missiles, for which Turkey took delivery just in the last few days. But Lindsay still wants to sell some F-35 Joint Strike Fighters. The world's most expensive flying paperweight. But them S-400s present somewhat of a quandary, you understand, being how they're Russian and all, and are kind of meant to shoot down the likes of your occasional F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. But he's convinced his Republican colleagues to stand down. In other words, he's convinced his Republican colleagues to sell out the national security interests of the United States of America. Funny thing is, Politico had the story, and it's all based on what they got from Kevin Bishop. Remember him? I mentioned him a little bit ago. It's a prank, and they got him. Well, it may be a prank, but it's not particularly funny, at least from the standpoint of this here little old American.
That's a good news, and I know, but first I would like to say that the purchase of S-400 is an internal matter of Turkey, but so our president thinks that it could be like an invasion in our internal matter, as to let you know, probably.
Now, damn it, he said invasion. I don't ever want to get another email saying that when I make my Russian V's into W's, that they don't do that. It was right there. I got a recording.
Oh, and I also is interested to make our free trade agreement, if it's possible.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing we can do to improve the relationship is to marry up the economies, have a free trade agreement. That stabilizes the lira. Mm-hmm. That makes the relationship more strategic. And the problem with S-400 is that if Turkey activates it, other people want to buy it, and that's going to really put pressure on our alliances, and we're pretty firm about that. And I'd like to get Turkey back into the F-35 program. So my whole...
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Lindsay's worried about... Lindsay always wants things to be firm. Yes, of course he does. David in South Carolina, Stan, speaking up for South Carolina, says, Leningrad Lindsay, get out the fainting couch, and I'd bet $1 million that our rodeo clown South Carolina governor would fall for it as well.
Hope is that we can find a way around the S-400 issue that works for everybody, and we can turn the conversation to a free trade agreement.
Yes, but what has President Trump said about the free trade agreement?
Okay, so he told me to call President Erdogan and make this offer. So what I'll do, I talked to the foreign minister. I'll try to get over to Turkey because I need to go to Pakistan too, as we're trying to wind down the war in Afghanistan. But basically, here's what President Trump told me. He said,
I'm just curious. Do you think President Trump is tickled pink about this? Or perhaps he would be tickled somewhat like burnt orange? Boo, I got to get out of that voice. Somewhere, a tiny-handed orange man is having a conniption if by some horrifying happenstance he's learned about this. Well, hell, says Ron and Raleigh, you act as though repig-licking selling out American interests is something new. Them some bitches will sell their sainted mothers for the right price. Oh, yeah. And go and dig up sainted granny if there's enough in it for them, because that's the soul of republicanism, you know, capitalism.
Work with Turkey to avoid the S-400 problem, that he will empower the Commerce Department and the International Trade Representative to open up free trade negotiations. He really likes President Erdogan.
Really, really.
And we have a goal to increase trade. But I told the president
it'd be great for booking, say, at those two bedbug-infested bordello Trump towers he's got there in Istanbul. Wonder if they're near where the earthquake hits. You think they sprang for the earthquake engineering? I mean, that neck of the woods is earthquake prone. Been some pretty horrifying ones there.
Shouldn't be a goal to increase trade. It should be a formal trade agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And he agrees. That's instead of having a goal of $75 billion in trade, we should have a free trade agreement, which would have unlimited trade potential.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know that it's hard to make sure to make our president to stop.
I know it's hard, and all I can say is that I have been trying to stop sanctions based on receiving this S-400. I'm saying that's not a substantial transaction. As a friend, and I really do appreciate our alliance with Turkey, you've been very helpful with ISIS and other matters. If the system gets activated, our law is just going to take over. It's a $4 billion system. I know that. The F-35 program is $10 billion in economic benefit to Turkey. But a free trade agreement, I think, would be probably the best thing that could happen to both economies.
Oh, great. Because, yeah, we sure do need a free trade agreement with Turkey. I mean, yeah, I hear their old Turkish recipe for cream of curd soup is something fantastic. I wonder if any of Precious Lindsay's colleagues will have the patriotic decency to bring up the fact that he's sold his own country out with this line of traitorous bullshit. Free trade agreement with Turkey. Because you know, you just know Turkish workers are treated great. And you know that the Turkish government's deadly in earnest about climate change and workers' rights and environmental non-degradation. Sure they are. I mean, the Black Sea that Turkey borders, crystal clear. Clean as a pin.
Well, just keep talking with the Secretary of Defense. But the president told me to tell President Erdogan that he wants to turn the discussion to a free trade agreement. And I can set up a phone call between the two presidents if you want me to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to do that?
Yes, sure. You know, okay.
And I'll be on the phone. I'll be on the phone call.
Really? You'll be on the phone call, will you, Lindsay? Kind of the way that Mike Pompeo was on the phone call with the president of Ukraine? Reckon there'll be any shakedowns there, Lindsay? Oh, I think Lindsay has a little conflict of interest now going forward as far as any investigating of Donald Trump's concerned, don't you? I mean, let's take a moment with this. Because it's easy to say, well, you know, it could happen to anybody. I mean, it happened to him. It happened to Nimrata Haley. So how do you keep this from happening? Well, one way is to be a little bit smarter than those two wacky guys, those two wild and crazy guys from Moscow 97.5, the Yak. Oh, yes, you're the defense minister, Turkey. Well, Mr. Defense Minister, Senator Graham is voting on the floor of the Senate. See, that's what they send him here to do, and that's what they pay him for. So I'll send a message to him, and why don't you give me your little old phone number with your little old country code for little old Turkey, and I will have him call you right back right there in your little old capital of Ankara. I just do it. I will. I swear. Problem solved. Unless Lev and Igor there have already sorted it out so that it... Right. But then again, you could probably call Ankara information with, oh, I don't know, a Turkish-speaking member of the American State Department and ask for the number and see if it matches up. Or, hey, and I know this is just crazy, what do you want to bet if you were to call the American ambassador to Turkey? Work with me here. You could say, hey, I've got a callback number for the Turkish defense minister, and here it is. And they could say, well, that's the country code for Russia. I don't think it was him. But why don't you let me make a little old phone call and find out? But no, you don't do that. Because precious Lindsay is he's all hot and bothered about the possibility of burnishing his credentials and increasing in stature in the eyes of Donald Trump, whom he loves so very much. Jesus. You'd think that crowd was just sort of figuring shit out as they go along. Subject line, South Carolina contingent, this coming from Clarence. Bob, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the biggest flip-flop in South Carolina politics. During the 2016 campaign, Lindsay described Donald to the T. In February 2016, Lindsay said that, I think he's a kook, I think he's crazy, and I think he's unfit for office. Now, he's a lapdog for Trump. I'll be voting for Jamie Harrison in November 2020. No, I'm sorry, unfit for office. That's Clarence saying now he's a lapdog for Trump. I'll be voting for Jamie Harrison in November 2020. Graham is trying to please the military-industrial community. There are big dollars on the line. And let's not forget the manufacturing of weapons is at a lull right now. So a hot war is needed right quick. Replacement of equipment, weapons, and parts is a cash cow for the GOP. The GOP never ceases to amaze me. Well, it never ceases to disgust me, Clarence. But I get your point. Subject line, Lindsay. Jack in Shreveport says, so we don't have basic security protocols for... Stop with the accent, Bob! So we don't have basic security protocols for phone call verification, ID verification? Jeez. Apparently not if you're from South Carolina. I mean, you South Carolinians is just... They are the milk of human kindness and the very soul of honesty, and they just assume everybody is as honest as they are, the South Carolina Republicans. My God in heaven. And thank you to Anatole, and thank you to Gary. We have knocked down we've taken a bite out of the $490 fundraising goal. We've got it down to $455. Thank you, Gary, and thank you, Anatole. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Well, let's get back to it. It ain't going to get no better.
Oh, okay. Yes, I will also tell to.
Why don't you report back to the to your people that Senator Graham is willing to try to set up a phone call with President Trump where we can talk through this about the free trade agreement and this 400. And I will only do that if it's okay with President Erdogan. I don't want to do anything that would embarrass him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
because when you embarrass Erdogan, you wind up with Yak's head in bed. Todd asks, is Graham on any committees handling classified sensitive info? Well, I mean, the Senate Judiciary Committee does do that sort of work from time to time. Brother Deacon Asa asking, how is it that these dumb bastards can't tell between a Turkish and a Russian accent? Well, I mean, can you, Asa? Well, actually, you can. But it's another function of bigotry. All them foreigners just sound alike. They all sound alike to me. Pretty much the non-white ones look alike to me, too.
That's a great news. I think that it's all what we need. But you know that we are against any sanction policy.
Hey, hold on a minute. Who's got the Android phone in there? With the sound effect, because really, the foreign minister of Turkey has another cell phone there that sounds like every other Android ringtone on the planet. Got it. This is great.
And well, me too. I understand. I mean, our law is very clear on this about if it's activated, and this is just a problem we're going to have with other countries. And no, I don't want any sanctions. And the reason we don't have sanctions now is because I've helped President Trump with the Republicans say, no, let's don't sanction Turkey. Let's work through this. And all of the Republicans are really excited about a free trade agreement. It helps both economies.
Oh, they're really excited about it. Yeah. Because I'm sure that Joni Ernst, for instance, is just so eager to try that barbecued Christian sandwich that the Turks are so famous for. Yeah. Really excited. Just checking. Have you seen any news stories? Because, you know, we all watch the news fairly closely. Have you seen any news stories about how excited Republicans are about the potential for a free trade agreement with Turkey? Because I missed it. I flat out missed it.
Yes, that's good. But you know that Russia is not our enemy. And I think my position that Russia is not enemy to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a tell there, Lindsay.
You know, Mr. Minister, I'm trying to be as helpful as I know how to be. If the 400 system gets activated, it will be impossible to stop the sanctions, and it'd be impossible to have a free trade agreement. So what I'm trying to do is find a way to help Turkey with the dilemma with the S-400, see if we can work through this problem, and change the conversation from an area of disagreement to an area of agreement, which is a free trade agreement.
So I really worry about the position of my president. So
yeah, I do too. And I don't know what to tell you other than I am doing all I know to do. And President Trump is very sympathetic to the situation of President Erdogan, but the Congress...
You know, if you take the sim off of sympathetic, you've got the true state of affairs. Donald Trump is pathetic. But that's me, and I'm mean.
Is not sympathetic. The Congress, Democrats, are not sympathetic at all. And we've lost some...
Because them Democrats, they get all uppity about the human rights and stuff, and can't hardly get no business done with them. But they've been like that since 1850. Them liberals. I mean, they was Republicans like me back then. But my folks was Democrats, and it's just complicated, Mr. Foreign Minister. Complicated, I tell you.
Republicans here. When it comes to Turkey, Turkey is too valuable of an ally to get in a dispute with. We need to end this dispute and talk about something and move to a stronger relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm trying everything I know. You know, your YPG Kurdish problem is a real problem. I told President Trump that Obama made a huge mistake. And relying on the YPG Kurds?
Well, now, I guess we know why the Kurds are getting slaughtered. Because Lindsay sold them out before Donald Trump did. Your YPG Kurds. So for all that blather about how the Kurds are being betrayed, Lindsay betrayed them before Donald Trump even did.
Everything I worried about has come true, and now we got to make sure that Turkey's protected from this threat in Syria. I'm sympathetic to the YPG problem, and so is the president, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is make sure that Turkey is not threatened by any settlement in Syria. I want to make sure that Turkey has a stronger relationship with the United States under President Trump.
Do you realize, of course you do, that Senator Lindsey Graham, a senior member of the Republican Senate caucus, is being more forthright and more forthcoming with a pair of Zoo Crew DJs from Moscow than he ever is when he appears with the multimillionaires of the for-profit media on our supposedly free media? He feels a greater sense of candor with what he perceives to be the functionary of a bloodthirsty dictator than he does with members of the Fourth Estate in his own nation. David in South Carolina stands as, but her emails, remember when her emails were such a security risk that they were going to cause World War III?
Now USA Strategy can be heard live from USA Capital on Morning Zoo program in Mother Russia. Prezakli, David Prezakli. Steve in New York. Genocide or free trade agreement? Gee, which is more important? Human rights or capitalism? Well, capitalism blanked human rights again today, Phil. I know, it was almost as big an embarrassment as what the Cardinals did to the Braves just last night. Ron in Raleigh says, I think it's time, isn't it, for Crocodile Kincaid to give Joe Manchin a call concerning a deal to sell more coal down under? Perhaps a call to Rick Goodhair Perry about an energy deal? Oh, don't tempt me, Ron, don't tempt me. Sympathetic, Lee in New York, says, Trump is sympathetic, simple, and pathetic. Yuck, says Darlene in Connecticut. I have to shower with bleach after listening to Lindsey Graham on this prank call. Blah! Here's the downside. There's a lot more. Now, this may be taken the wrong way, but where I grew up, it was about 8 miles from the birthplace of Helen Keller. And there was a subspecialty of juvenile little jokes, Helen Keller jokes. Please don't hate me for this, because it ties into this story. One of them, I'm not going to go through them, but one of them goes like this. How did Helen Keller burn her face? The answer, answering the iron. Then there's a follow-up that says, how did Helen Keller burn the other side of her face? They called back. And the reason I mention that is because it's not just that Lev and Igor, or whatever their names are, punked Lindsey Graham once. No, they called back. There's two of these. Two. It beggars the imagination.
To get back in the F-35 program and that we don't sanction our friends. That's my goal.
That's a good news. So what we can do?
What, do you want me to try to set up a phone call between the two presidents?
Yes, yes. When we can do that?
I'm going to be with him next week, so... Do you want me to call you back to make sure he's willing to talk? I'm sure he will be. Do you want me to call you back?
Yes, I can. We are in touch with your office. So.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll mention this to the president.
Oh, my God.
In the next couple of days and recommend that he talk directly with President Erdogan. I'll get the Secretary of Defense on the phone and see if we can work through this. Then the president could announce a free trade agreement negotiation. It would be a really win-win for everybody. So why don't I get back with you in the next couple of days about where President Trump's willingness to make a phone call to President Erdogan?
Yes, okay. But at first, I would like to let want to ask you: can we make it unofficial our conversation? I mean, like.
Say again. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, make it unofficial. I mean, not to...
Make it unofficial?
Yes. I mean...
We'll make it quiet. Yes.
Yeah, we'll make it quiet. I mean, we don't want everybody to know about Ashley's barbecue down to 12 Oaks, now do we? Then some of them Kurds would probably come up and want to be barbecuing goat. I don't care for goat.
Wait a minute. What if this fucked up mess is how the whole betrayal of the Kurds thing got started? Now, I realize that's just rank speculation, but you can tell that Lindsey is eager. I mean, he's gonna get his running pants on to just run up to President Trump and say, "Ooh, President Trump, I done got you a free trade agreement with the Turks. Aren't you proud of me? Won't you pat my little old noggin head?" Jesus.
We can have a free trade agreement with the Turks? Oh, that would be wonderful. They could, like, build stuff over here, just like the Saudis do. Oh, I do.
Kyle says, "Oh, my God, we're so fucked. How do people vote for these fuckers? Jesus, or anyone for that matter, save us." I know. Oh, Jack in Shreveport. Wait a minute. It says, "And make sure the phone call is scheduled while show is on air in Moscow." What do you want to bet their in-studio guest was Pooty? And they're hitting the mute button back and forth like I'm doing right now. So that every they hit the mute button every time that Pooty starts to laugh. Ah, yes, the United States of America, laughingstock. Feels great, doesn't it?
I think the president would prefer that, too.
Yes.
Is to have a quiet conversation.
You know, like quiet conversation with President of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's perfect.
And my advice would be is to have the two presidents talk, have you on the phone with our Secretary of Defense, and maybe, you know, somebody from state, and I'll be on the phone, and see if we can find a plan that would be acceptable to the Congress, enough of us, and, you know, then maybe move into a more formal conversation about a free trade agreement.
Yes, and can I ask you a few issues that I'm interested in? It's just to tell to our president advisors. They asked me to ask you.
Sure.
At the same time, you know that the situation around Gulen, who wanted to carry out a coup in Turkey, and
Gulen, yeah, the FBI is still working that case.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI is they're making progress toward.
You may not have recognized the name Gulen. He's a sort of an imam of sorts, and he developed a big following because he has this crazy notion that it is mandatory for Muslims to learn as much as possible and to become as knowledgeable as possible and to have as much 21st century access to education as possible. And he started schools. And even a couple, I think, here in the United States. But he ran afoul of Erdogan because some of Erdogan's fundamentalist Muslim pals aren't all that into the modern world, kind of like the Wahhabis aren't in Saudi Arabia. And Gulen may have actually been involved in that one little Turkish coup that went down that resulted in a nasty-ass purge, courtesy of Erdogan. So they bring up, so the Morning Zoo crew makes sure, the Morning Zoo crew's up on their shit. Now, trying to soften the blow a little bit, Politico in its story says, "The prankster's conversation with Graham, a Trump ally who has the president's ear on national security issues, appear on their face to have been relatively harmless. Now, for the past hour or so, we've been listening to this. Does that sound harmless to you? I don't think there's much harmless about blathering American foreign policy ideas to Lev and Igor from Moscow 97.5. Because what Lindsay thinks he's doing is sharing the innermost, to use the term very loosely, thoughts of the chief executive of the United States of America. I'm having a hard time seeing that as particularly benign. But yeah, the FBI is still investigating Gulen. There's nothing for the FBI to investigate. Although, if you go back a ways, what you'll find is that at one point in time, while he was kissing up to his landlord, because insofar as Turkey is an autocratic dictatorship, Erdogan is Donald Trump's landlord. As long as Trump wants to keep sucking up all that sweet, sweet money from those bedbug, fleabag-infested bordello towers of his, he's got to stay on the good side of the dictator. And in order to do that, he has to give more than he gets. And so in the past, he has indicated, you may even recall this because it was a bit of a scandal, although they all sort of flow together after a while. He wanted to let the Turks just come and kidnap Gulen from his little compound in Pennsylvania. And really didn't see any problem with that. That's the background on that little bit of betrayal.
Criminal. They've opened a criminal investigation. I don't know the status of it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can we talk to between our sites, and if we'll stop to buy S-400 and?
I don't know if you can do that, Mr. Minister. I don't want to get our president in trouble of making deals like that, but let's just get him on the phone and see where it goes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think that my goal is to buy some time to have a informal conversation, mm-hmm. see if we can work out an arrangement that is not embarrassing to President Erdogan, acceptable to the Congress, and see if we can get back in the F-35 program, see if we can avoid sanctions and start talking about a free trade agreement.
Jesus, he sounds like a used car salesman. Bringing it back around to that F-35. Yeah, this F-35, I mean, it was only flown to bomb little brown children on Sundays. These are great F-35s. I mean, they got a little bit of wear on them, but it'll be you know what? It's a used F-35, but it'll be new to you, Mr. Minister. And I tell you what, you're going to be so proud. You're going to have the only F-35s on the block. Everybody is going to be so jealous. Syrians ain't going to have no F-35s. Kurds ain't going to have no F-35s. Iraqis ain't going to have no F-35s. Iranians goddamn sure ain't going to have no F-35s. You're going to be the onlyest one on the block got an F-35. Now, I got the paperwork right here. I've already talked to my general manager. And, you know, we could deal with you on easy terms. Not much, hell, probably not more than 19.5% interest. And the thing is, we'll give you American aid to purchase them with. So you're really not out anything at all, you understand. Now let's just get together and sign on the dotted line. What do you say?
Okay. So let's do it through your...
All right. Well, I will call you back in a couple of days and let you know what President Trump says.
Yes, that's perfect. Okay. And also, the last few questions. Yes, you know that we have a problem now with a new organization in Syria that's called Limpopo.
Okay, I did not know, no.
Ah, this is the Bonomo portion of the call.
So it's, you know that we crushed ISIS, but the remaining right. terrorists have created a new project.
Okay, well, I'm very interested in hearing about that. I have got to run to vote. Can I call you back later?
Yes.
Can we?
Yes.
Okay, let me run and vote, and I'll get back.
I'll just run on down and cast my little old vote, and I'll come back, and I'll put my hair up in curlers, and we'll have some real talk.
In the next couple of days, and tell you where President Trump said about talking to President Erdogan. I want to hear more about this group. Okay?
Okay, yes. And please write in our office so we're in touch with your office.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. Should I talk to you or the foreign minister?
And by the way, just a reminder, courtesy of Asa, in the midst of all this madness, we forget that Trump was all too happy to let Erdogan's thugs beat the shit out of American citizens in D.C. protesting Erdogan's dictatorial bloodthirstiness. I guess Lindsay forgot that, too. Well, what's a little beat down among friends who are just trying to hammer out a free trade agreement, huh? Sometimes these things are rough on y'all. I just got a note from Jude. Jude says, I just figured out what's occurring inside me since listening to this secret dialogue, Bob. Shocked. I mean, the type of shock that I could be flat on the floor. But I'm moving through. Got to keep moving, Jude. Got to keep moving. Steve in New York says, this has a giving up the ghost feel to it. Customary comparison. Just imagine if Democrats had done this, or, God forbid, President Obama or his U.N. ambassador. Oh, but there's a lighthearted quality to it, according to the folks over at Politico. Now, I'm not going to be as stupid as Donald Trump and when he said that Mitt Romney should be impeached. You can't impeach a senator. But Lindsey's credentials should probably be significantly downgraded to the point that he's not the chairman of any Senate committees out of this. If he can't tell the difference between a real and a joke Turkish diplomat, it does not bode well. But like I said, they called back. They called back. And by the way, this backs something else up. While the Trump regime was trying to say that they had no idea that Erdogan was going to launch genocidal airstrikes and slaughter innocent men, women, and children. Well, a Turkish official, a real one, came out and said he knew exactly what we planned to do. We made sure he knew exactly what we planned to do. And they called back.
Ой, или нет. Да, вроде правильно.
Dallas.
Hello. We are calling from office of the minister.
Yes, one second. I have Senator Graham for you, sir. One second.
Thank you.
Oh, they were waiting for it this time, Ange.
Senator Graham, you are connected.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Good day, Mr. Senator.
Don't you love it? Hello? Hello? Hello there? He's so excited. He feels so important.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I met with the president. I spent the weekend with him, and we played...
Jesus, he, thank you for taking my call. Really?
It only took me 10 years or so, but I finally convinced y'all to stop thanking me so that I could thank you for making the call. Damn. This is just breathtaking. Thank you for taking my call. Mega dittos from Busted Knuckle Rush. I weep for my country. I grieve for the greatness that was once the United States of America. Yeah. By the way, we've got $455 to go on our fundraising goal to catch up with tonight. And I want to thank Gary and Anatole for jumping in early. Hopefully more folks will step in alongside them. Of course you won't. Steve from Georgistan says, I lay 10-1 odds. We will not hear about this on Meet the Press or any of the Sunday shows. Of course not, because, you know, it's just a little ha-ha. I mean, you wouldn't want to embarrass Lindsay too badly, or else Lindsay won't come on your program and lie to you no more. But yeah, another member of the fraternity of Steve from New York, is right. Democrats would be barbecued in molasses over this.
Golf yesterday and had dinner over the weekend.
Oh, he's talking about his date with Donnie. They played golf and had dinner.
And we talked about our friends in Turkey, and I told him my desire was...
Wait a minute, doesn't that sound just a little colonialist? Isn't he talking down a little bit? We talked about our friends in Turkey. Yes. Doesn't he sound a little great white Hopi there?
To change the conversation and get you back in the F-35 program and talk about...
Man, he's still hustling that flying paperweight. Okay, South Carolina contingent. How much of the F-35 is getting built in South Carolina? Anybody know that? Can the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department get on that? Or maybe it's just the fact that the F-35 was designed to be a Cadillac and it's turned out to be a Ford Pinto. Maybe that's the problem. And they got an inventory problem. And they're trying to come up with some rebates, and pretty soon we'll be down to buy one, get one free. We'll be moving the F-35s at Big Lots.
A free trade agreement and move it in a new direction, and that's what he would like to do.
And did you tell him about our conversation?
Yes. So here's what I told you before. If we can find some way to deal with the S-400, that it not be activated, because Congress has no room to wiggle here. A lot of my colleagues want to impose sanctions right now for accepting the system.
Now, for something that was mostly innocuous, isn't that a pretty substantial piece of U.S. foreign policy when you consider that, or maybe it's just not news. Maybe the Russians already know that. Maybe they know that they pissed us right off by selling the S-400 to Turkey and Turkey buying it. But you're inside the U.S. Senate with one of the most insidey of the U.S. senators, who happens to be in the majority, and you've got it straight from his mouth that they really don't want to do sanctions. So that information is actually valuable to Putin. And he knows which way, you know, he knows which pressure points to push in that event. Suddenly it doesn't seem so harmless, does it?
And I told the president, we don't have to do that. We don't want to sanction Turkey. We want to We want a better relationship with Turkey. That's exactly what he wants. And this case involving the Turkish bank, he's very sensitive to
yes.
that. The president wants to be helpful within the limits of his power. We want to have a stronger relationship with President Erdogan. I personally like President Erdogan. I think President Trump likes President Erdogan. I think he's a strong man, and we need to deal with strong people.
Well, so we now know that Lindsay has a man crush on a bloodthirsty dictator. Suddenly, his friendliness with Donald Trump, who also has man crushes on bloodthirsty dictators, begins to come a little more sharply into focus, doesn't it? Son of a gun. And the Turkish bank problem. That goes back to a conviction in 2018 of Zarab, because he was paying bribes to Turkish bank officers, this Zarab. And he's doing 32 months in federal prison. Zarab and you and other cohorts used Halkbank, a Turkish bank, to, quote, launder billions of dollars worth of Iranian oil proceeds, ultimately creating a slush fund for Iran to use however it wished, the very harm that U.S. sanctions were put in place to avoid. And Halkbank is still facing fines at the Treasury, if Steve Mnuchin can find his way clear to impose them. And somebody you may be familiar with, U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, back in 2016, wrote a memo pointing out the fact that Mr. Zarab also was engaged in a massive bribery scheme, paying cabinet-level Turkish government officials and high-level bank officers tens of millions of euro and U.S. dollars to facilitate his bribery transactions. And Erdogan lobbied hard to get Zarab released by the Obama administration, going so far as to send his justice minister to try to shake down Loretta Lynch. Obama and Loretta Lynch didn't fall for it and didn't take the bait. That business about how he likes President Erdogan, and Trump likes Erdogan. He's a strong man. Well, that strong man is getting his genocide on now, and we get a little bit better understanding out of this how it happened, and the fact that Lindsay's breathless condemnations are nothing more than show.
So I think the next thing to do is to have the two presidents talk with each other.
Yes, correct. And yes, I agree. And what did he say about our conversation? He said that so it's possible to not impose the sanctions.
Yes. I'm giving him the space. I need you to help me here.
Okay.
The president is going to resist.
I need you to help me here. Is that a little bit like we need a favor? No wonder Lindsay's so dead set against charging Trump with impeachable offenses out of the Ukraine transaction. That's apparently how he does business, too. Oh, and by the way, thank you to David in South Carolina, Stan. The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department doing a bang-up job domestic impact of the F-35 on South Carolina. There are 11 supplier locations in South Carolina. There are 740 direct and indirect jobs. And the economic impact of the F-35 flying paperweight on South Carolina is $63,600,000. Focus just tightened a little bit, didn't it?
Imposing sanctions until something new happens. I mean, if it stays like it is, the president's not going to impose sanctions, and I'll have his back. What the president would like to do is talk about how we can get
you know, that sure does take the starch out of Lindsey standing there after the genocide got rolling, saying, "Ooh, we're going to impose some sanctions. We're going to sanction the shit out of Turkey. My goodness gracious, my stars and garters, there's going to be sanctions." Not so much, huh? Bit of a paper Clemson Tiger, that there Lindsey. Wouldn't you say? Seems to be.
Back in the F-35 program, not impose sanctions and start a conversation about a free trade agreement.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have two news. One is good one. I have a conversation with my president 2 days before, 2 days ago, and I told him that we have a conversation with you, and he said that I can talk with you on behalf of President Erdogan. And the good news that we have a good relations and good improvement in our military line. You know that today your delegation, military delegation, has came in Turkey, in Ankara, and I had a meeting with them about escalation in Syria.
You've been very helpful. I cannot thank you enough. I think what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's another one, another little tell out of this entire transaction. The morning zoo crew from Moscow 97.5, the Yak, have been well briefed, because I'm pretty sure they didn't get that information about a U.S. military delegation meeting in Ankara from TASS, or Pravda, or Zvestia, or Good Morning Moscow. It is, after all, state-run media. What we're listening to is espionage in real time, no matter how desperately Politico wants to frame it as harmless jokes and pranksterism. Just to put all this in context, this all goes down in August. So you can see that the wheels were moving within wheels, circles within circles. At about the same time that the Ukraine stuff was going on. About that. Subject line, narcissism. David in South Carolina stands, says, see how susceptible Lindsey is to this? Imagine how much more susceptible Donald Trump is to ploys that flatter his ego. Certainly Kremlin has hours of Donald Trump revealing USA secrets.
And Syria is going to give us a chance to calm things down, yeah.
Yes, this is one issue. The problem is that we could have a problem from Iran and Russia. So
yes,
they can impose a sanction against us, and we need to have your support.
Well, here's what I think. As long as we have some American troops in northeastern Syria where we provide air cover, the Russians and the Iranians are not going to come into northeastern Syria. If they come after Turkey, it only helps you in Congress.
Well, now, that doesn't seem so harmless, does it? As long as we're providing air cover in northeastern Syria, the Iranians and the Russians won't do anything. So he's just given away our military strategy to the very country that we're trying to keep out of this ongoing human rights nightmare.
There's an effort by Iran or Russia to do something to the Turkish economy. You're preventing a massacre in Idlib. I told the president, I said, if it weren't for Turkey holding the line in Idlib, it would be a disaster for the whole region. If it weren't for Turkey working with us in northeastern Syria, ISIS would come back. Iran would begin to dominate the region, and we'd have a real conflict between Turkey and the Kurds.
Looks like we got one of those now. And by telling Moscow 97.5 the Yak about it all, well, they knew the pressure points, and there it is. It's happening. If Lindsey Graham had even a scintilla juris of honor, Lindsey Graham would resign, disgrace or no disgrace. Lindsey Graham is never going to go out and have to live on beans and cornbread. He's not going to have to make any ball gowns out of curtains. He has enough to get him through for the rest of his natural born days. He should resign out of this.
So the president believes that you're very important to the future of Syria, quite frankly, very important to the U.S. economy, because he sees the Turkish economy as a real beneficial partner.
Yes. Yes. You know, because this issue came to us because of Syrian case. So
yes,
that's why we started to buy S-400 from Russia side.
No, I know. And part of it was our problem. I mean, the Obama administration made it very difficult for you to buy the Patriot. I understand that. Our laws are written in a fashion that I don't think the president has to issue sanctions. But if the system is activated, I don't think he has any choice. So what we're trying to do is find a way to get that issue resolved satisfactory to both parties, not embarrassing Turkey, but change the conversation to economic integration. Of all the things that we could do with Turkey, in my view, a free trade agreement would change the relationship forever.
Yes, I agree with you. My personal view is you should know that I'm absolutely on your side.
Yeah, but and the F-35 program, if we can get that back to where it was, that's $10 billion for Turkey. It's good for the relationship.
Yes, what can you provide us? So what can I tell to my president?
Well, here's what I think we should do. Let me call the president back this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call you tomorrow, and here's what I think we should do.
Okay.
We should have a call between the two presidents.
Okay. I hope that we can arrange a good conversation between our presidents.
Yes, and I think that the conversation should be, you can tell President Erdogan that I spent the whole weekend with him, that the president does not want to sanction Turkey.
The whole weekend? the whole weekend.
He thinks that's crazy. I personally think it's crazy. We need to find a way around that, and we need to change the conversation from one of conflict to one of cooperation. And the president is very willing to try to get you back in the F-35 program. He is very willing to start a free trade negotiation conversation that I think will stabilize the lira and do more to help the Turkish government than any single thing we could do.
Yes, and may I ask, did you ask him about the case of Gulen?
Yeah, and, you know, he said he's monitoring the situation. We'll see what our FBI comes back. But he was very keen on the bank case, you know, the one involving the Turkish bank.
Really? Keen on it, was he? Wonder why.
And he does not want that case to hurt our relationship.
Mm-hmm. So sanctions,
he mentioned that twice.
So sanctions can hurt our Turkish banks.
I think so. I think we're trying to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
See, so if we can avoid...
I have to tell it to my president. I have to tell him what could be in a bad case, in a bad
Right. So in the best case scenario, here's the best case scenario. We find a way not to impose sanctions based on the S-400 being activated, that the Turkish bank situation gets better, not worse. You get back in the F-35 program, and we open free trade negotiations between the two countries this year, and we continue to work together to create cooperation in Syria that protects you against a YPG threat, and we try to find a way to go to Geneva and settle the war in Syria eventually.
YPG. That's the Kurdish resistance. Kurdish People's Protection Units. Yeah. Turkey thinks they're terrorists because they want a state of their own. Lindsay's willing to sell them out.
And may I ask what you should understand our relations with Russia? What can we explain them? We already have a contract.
And by the way, as Steve in New York points out, when they talk about, he's really keen on this Turkish bank case, as Steve in New York points out. Can you say quid pro quo? You know, they're all chummy and collegial, though. In the Senate, you got to wonder if any Democratic members of the Senate will be willing to call this out, or are they all wondering if they've been punked too? Because you can just call up a senator if you're a foreign power. And wait, what happened to it is the job of the president to execute foreign policy? Oh, wait, there's another clip out there from Lindsay, isn't there? Wasn't it Lindsay or was it some other maggot who protested and brayed that I certainly would hate to have people listening in on my phone conversations with foreign leaders? Wasn't that Lindsay? Wasn't that on one of the Sunday shows or something? The last couple of weeks? See, this story just broke. The dateline on this, or the date on this, is today by Natasha Bertrand. So when Lindsay was saying that, he knew he had had this conversation selling out the Kurds and talking about what a strong man the bloodthirsty dictator Erdogan is. Well, Lindsay, somebody was listening in on your conversation. Only it wasn't the FBI. And it wasn't the NSA. And it wasn't the DNI. And it wasn't Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or Jim Comey. You had a conversation with the Morning Zoo crew from Moscow 97.5, the Yak, that was immediately turned over to Pootie. This is serious. I mean, I know I clowned around a little bit with it and did my antebellum Lindsey Graham accent and everything. But this is a wholesale betrayal of the United States of America by a guy who wraps himself in the stars and stripes at every opportunity. This is frightening. It's well past Susan Collins disappointing, and it's blown on right by Willard Romney disturbing. This is frightening. There is a cabal surrounding Donald Trump that is actively engaged in selling out American foreign policy to the highest bidder.
Well, I just think you need to explain to the Russians that it's the Americans that have the most leverage over the YPG threat. And, you know, you were right about this threat. You know, you see me on television, that we owe it to Turkey not to create a problem on your border in northeastern Syria. And you can let the Russians know that the President Trump's hands will be tied if we get into this S-400 operation. And from your point of view, I'm not asking you to have bad relationships with Russia, but I think your immediate goal, right, is to try to improve relations with the United States economically and get back in the F-35 program.
Yes, I agree. But you also should know that it's not easy to not make our relations with Russia worse because of...
Well, I know. And, you know, let's put it this way.
I know, Sugar. I know. Believe me. I took so many Russian rubles from the NRA, I can't hardly count them. Believe me, you have my deepest sympathy.
There's only so much. Russia is in Syria. It's a very expensive operation for Russia. Russia cannot maintain this forever. Iran has a different agenda than Russia. Russia has, their abilities to operate in Syria for a long period of time is much diminished. So I wouldn't overly worry about that. If I were you, I'd be trying to integrate the Turkish economy with the United States economy. Of all the things that could affect the Erdogan legacy, how President Erdogan changed Turkey would be to have a free trade agreement with the United States.
Yes, and I also would like to tell you some
terrible. I mean, what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
That the Russian planes now crashing. Probably you're here.
Yeah, the Russians. I mean, I don't know who the hell would want a free trade agreement with the Russians, but yeah, let's try to. The first thing, Mr. Defense Minister, is just to keep our relationship from deteriorating, turn it around. We don't want to get into sanctions. We don't want the bank case to get out of hand. We want to turn it around. It doesn't help Turkey for this to get worse with the United States. Stabilizing the U.S.-Turkish relationship is my number one goal.
Yes, I agree with you. So now you will call to the president.
I will call to the president, and I will make sure that he feels comfortable calling your president. And the conversation will be along the lines I just discussed. And as to Russia and Syria, I do not care if they have an air base or a navy base. I just don't want Iran to run Damascus.
Yeah.
So he just gave up a navy base in Syria and an air base in Syria to the Russians.
Holy shit. Because he's all, he's got his maiden forms all in a twist about Iran running Damascus. Tis a puzzlement. True indeed, Ron and Raleigh pointing out terrorists. The Turks thought the Armenians were terrorists as well. That's what they called them. That's what they used as their justification for the Armenian genocide, which some people still think didn't happen. Funny how you can think that the Armenian genocide didn't happen, and you're not instantaneously cast into the same nasty category as people who think the Holocaust didn't. I have no problem whatsoever acknowledging that both did. Darlene in Connecticut. How inappropriate for this dingle-dangle to be bashing and apologizing for one of our former president's foreign policy to this foreign leader country's representative, or so he thought. Didn't the Republicans flip their collective shit the first time President Obama went overseas accusing him of doing an apology tour? Why, yes, they did. What the fuck is Graham doing here? Well, the short answer is selling out his country because his loyalty is to Donald Trump and not to the Constitution of the United States. Of course, as the maggots say, notes Stephen New York, it's the deep state, Bob. What did Madam Lindsay do wrong? Well, what he did is he let his true feelings about the Kurdish resistance, he let it slip. This was August. You can well imagine this was transmitted to Turkey, not to mention Putin. And so everybody knew what the maggots were going to do before the maggots even knew what the maggots were going to do. Thank you to Will in Chicago for taking us down to $430 to go with fundraising for the evening. $430, 30 more bucks, and we're finally done with Tuesday's fundraising. It would be nice to at least have that done. 430. Thank you, Will. Sorry, Eileen. Eileen says, please let this end. Lindsay's so embarrassing, humiliating. I've got Excedrin headache number 452. Well, I think yours is number 452 because mine's number 451. Like I said, I've been eating a lot of ibuprofen lately, and between my localized reason for the ibuprofen versus what goes on every day, it makes for a bit of a whopper. So now, now that we know what we know here, it makes it makes the following. A little bit more easier to comprehend. Because Nitwit Nero has put his foreign policy chops to work. And he says that we have three, count them, three, one, two, five, three options on Turkey. 10 hours ago, Lindsey Graham tweeted, "Very sad to see great ally the Kurds being assaulted by Turkish Erdogan military using American-designed equipment. Expect Congress to act soon against Turkey's invasion and aggressively push back. hope Trump administration will join this effort. Knowing what we know now, do you believe a word of that? I mean, he was trying to make sure that the Turks got to use some highfalutin F-35s to slaughter some innocent Kurdish women and children. Lindsay was. Great God Almighty. It's all just a show, isn't it? Feels that way. Now, Nitwit Nero. Yeah, what's that? Bill in Allentown says, morning, Zoo Crew. The Zoo Crew probably can't get through to the Democrats because they really vet callers from overseas. It's hard for me to contact my senator, and PA has an R and a D. Well, yeah, I mean, Nitwit Nero said it about 4:07 this afternoon.
We defeated 100% of the ISIS caliphate and no longer have any troops in the area under attack by Turkey and Syria. We did our job perfectly.
You know, like the phone call was perfect.
Now Turkey is attacking the Kurds who have been fighting each other for 200 years. We have one of three choices. Send in thousands of troops and win militarily, hit Turkey very hard financially and with sanctions, or mediate a deal between Turkey and the Kurds.
Yeah, because not selling out our allies, it would not take. You realize, of course, that the Turks couldn't get a single goddamned aircraft into the air if we were still flying air support. That's why they didn't before. Meanwhile, Chlamydia Claudius is On his way to Minneapolis to stiff the people of that city out of tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars. Jesus.
Thank you, Minneapolis, Minnesota. On my way. Hashtag CAG2020.
They think they're going to win Minnesota. I hope they're wrong. And by the way, he's not going to hit Turkey very hard financially because, again, Erdogan is his fucking landlord. Oh, but by the way, since we've been having fun with Precious Lindsay, let's check in. Let's have, Sherman, set the Wayback Machine for 1998 and alternate universe Lindsey Graham. This is Lindsey Graham talking about impeachment. Republicans for the rule of law.
Article 3 of impeachment against Richard Nixon. The article was based on the idea that Richard Nixon, as president, failed to comply with subpoenas of Congress. Congress was going through its oversight function to provide oversight of the president. When asked for information, Richard Nixon chose not to comply, and the Congress back in that time said, "You're taking impeachment away from us. You're becoming the judge and jury. It is not your job to tell us what we need. It is your job to comply with the things we need to provide oversight over you." The day Richard Nixon failed to answer that subpoena is the day that he was subject to impeachment because he took the power from Congress over the impeachment process away from Congress, and he became the judge and jury.
And, you know, the funny thing is, back then, 1998, Lindsey Graham was right. It's just that 2019, Lindsey thoroughly disagrees with 1998, Lindsey. Well, I guess we can get back to Lev and Igor. Things got really bad for them. They were getting they were trying to flee the country. Now, bear in mind, just the night before, they'd had dinner with Rudy Giuliani there at where else? The only place in Washington, D.C., where you can get a New York strip steak that can also serve as a half sole for your shoes. Right. The filthy, tacky, dirty Trump hotel restaurant. Extra ketchup with every New York strip. Yeah, Lev and Igor had dinner with Giuliani, and then today they decided to take a little jaunt out to Dulles International Airport, where instead of being able to flee the country on one-way tickets, they instead were taken into custody on charges of campaign finance violations. Lev and Igor. And Abby something. Earlier today, over on MSNBC, the former FBI Assistant Director for Counterintelligence, Frank Figliuzzi, offered up a few nuggets of wisdom to Nicole Wallace, who can use all she can get. He said, today, two associates of Rudy Giuliani, the president's shadow secretary of state when it comes to U.S.-Ukrainian relations, were indicted. And Figliuzzi pointed out, when the indictment itself says that this conspiracy involved others known and unknown, there are others that are being investigated and likely may be charged. And I would warn all of these people, he continued, including Rudy Giuliani, that when I read this indictment and the level of detail and specificity, I smell not only human informants, but I also smell a wiretap or some form of electronic surveillance. There's a congressman named here, reportedly Pete Sessions of Texas. He and Rudy both should be deeply concerned this afternoon. Yeah, this thing's going to keep blowing up and blowing up and blowing up. Because it turns out there's a photograph of, well, Nitwit Nero standing with, who else? Lev and Igor.
I don't know those gentlemen. Now, it's possible I have a picture with them because I have a picture with everybody. I have a picture with everybody here. But somebody said there may be a picture or something where, at a fundraiser or somewhere. But I have pictures with everybody. I don't know if there's anybody I don't have pictures with. I don't know them. I don't know about them. I don't know what they do. But I don't know. Maybe they were clients of Rudy. You'd have to ask Rudy. I just don't know.
Sure. We have now drilled all the way down to the Sergeant Schultz defense. And frankly, Trump is roughly the same size and shape as Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. I hear nothing. I know nothing. Nothing! Hogan! I have pictures with everybody. People always want to, they stop me on the street and say, hey, Donald Trump, can I get a picture with you? I say, is your name Lev or Igor? And they go, no. I go, okay. Jesus. And the whole impeachment thing is, because that's what we'll just call it, the whole impeachment thing, is blossoming in ways that the maggots can't understand. For instance, there's a Democratic member of the House of Representatives from, of all places, Utah. His name is Ben McAdams. And the Salt Lake Tribune had the story. The Republican National Committee and the Trump campaign decided it would be a smart thing to hold an anti-impeachment rally outside of McAdams' office because McAdams has said that he supports the impeachment. There was only one problem. The maggots showed up, but so did patriotic Americans. To the tune of about 3-1. And so when they started, when the maggots started shouting, Trump, 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 well, the supporters of impeachment and Ben McAdams simply chanted, thank you, Ben, thank you, Ben, thank you, Ben. And they drowned out the maggots. Because the maggots are finally figuring out just where, just how many of them there really are. But there's still, atne ute aitbre, if you one what I ain me. Enter, no, let's check, no, I mean, there's no audio or anything, but Cynthia Hardy was interviewed, and she said, liberals are a little better at organizing, I can tell you that. Part of it is we are just so used to being intimidated by the left that we're afraid to speak up anywhere, in Utah even. I mean, I have a MAGA hat, but I don't dare wear it. I don't put a bumper sticker on my car because I'm afraid it'll get keyed. Ah, toughen up, Cynthia. You weren't ashamed to wear that maggot hat a couple of years ago, were you? It's just that in the 2 years and 9 months since the inauguration, that maggot hat has taken its place historically alongside pointy hoods and black peaked caps with skulls and crossbones on them, in terms of people knowing exactly what the hat says about the head that is underneath it. But Cynthia still hasn't figured it out. It's not that the maggots were afraid to come out or that the maggots didn't organize well enough. They had the full force and effect of the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee behind them. It's just that there aren't that many of them anymore. They're fading away. The people who thought it would be kind of fun to fuck their own country by voting for the rodeo clown, the wrestling match guy, the reality TV star, some of those are beginning to wake up. And so when you see the numbers climb for impeachment, and you see the numbers fall opposing it, I mean, 18% of Republicans now support impeachment and removal. So he's still around the 80% mark with Republicans. But they're fading. The number of independents seeking supporting impeachment is on the rise. The Democrats are rising, and it's bad enough, and this is funny, it's bad enough that Nitwit Nero, by way of explaining the impeachment numbers, well, it all went down via Twitter.
from the day I announced I was running for president, I've never had a good Fox News poll, because the poll showing that support for impeachment is going up, it was run by Fox. And as much as I hate to say it, they're generally acknowledged to run decent polls. From the day I announced I was running for president, I've never had a good at Fox News poll. Whoever their pollster is, they suck. But at Fox News is also much different than it used to be in the good old days with people like Andrew Napolitano, who wanted to be a Supreme Court justice, and I turned him down. He's been terrible ever since. Shep Smith, Donna Brazile, who gave Crooked Hillary the debate questions and got fired from CNN, and others. Fox News doesn't deliver for us anymore. It is so different than it used to be. Oh, well, I'm president. Hopefully not for long, motherfucker. And yeah, that's a pejorative phrase, but considering how he is, would you really be surprised? You're my mother. You're my mother. You remind me of Ivanka, who hasn't been born yet.
Well, that's true, Jim says. He says he has a picture of everybody. He doesn't have a picture of me, the turd. And Steve in New York says, right. Just look at all those violent acts where the perp cited Obama, Hillary, and Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, there's just not really so many of them around, are there? Yeah, you're right. Isn't an 80% approval of a GOP president pretty low intra-party historically? And falling. A tweet from David in South Carolina, Stan, going back to the original topic. New York Magazine has had a story as well. Lindsey Graham thought he was talking to the Turkish Minister of Defense. It was actually a prank caller. I think we need to stop using the word prank caller or the phrase prank caller. One individual, namely Malcolm Nance, said, these prank callers work for the Kremlin, so welcome to Kompromat 101. If Russia released this today as a joke, they or Trump will release more embarrassing material that won't be funny at all. Oh, I don't necessarily know that there's more out there. This may have been sufficient. What they will do is try to work a Democrat or two, because a while back they did fool Adam Schiff. But guess what? Adam Schiff did the right thing. Lindsey didn't. Hey, let's check in the heartland. Let's check in with John Shimkus. He's a Republican member of the House from Illinois. And not long back, he decided he didn't want to run for, he didn't want to be a member of the House of Representatives anymore. It's just not any more, it's not any fun being in the minority. And it wasn't too long ago that John Shimkus was saying things like, my colleagues' continuing refusal to accept the results of the 2016 election is bad for our country. I've read the Mueller report and I will review the call transcript and whistleblower report, but I've yet to see evidence against the president that warrants impeachment. That was last month. He's had a change of heart. He said Trump's betrayal of the Kurds is terrible and despicable. He was interviewed today on KMOX in St. Louis. Terrible and despicable. He also said he is abandoning the president. I called my chief of staff in D.C. I said, pull my name off the I support Donald Trump list. You see, he doesn't have to worry about being reelected now. and he wants to go out the door with some tattered remnant of his soul intact. Well, true. Well, that's part of the pathology, Scott. Scott in San Diego says, at long last, Bob, at long last, is there not a single fucking thing in this demented Circus Peanuts experience that isn't somebody else's goddamn fault? It's part of his mental illness. It is part of his intellectual disability. He is constitutionally, and I don't mean, you know, the document in D.C., I'm talking personally, he is constitutionally unable to accept responsibility for his own actions. That is a key component to any number of DSM-5 or 6 or wherever we are now, psychological diagnoses of mental illness. So what John Shimkus hinted at today is that if the betrayal of the Kurds finds its way some way into being an article of impeachment, by God, he'll vote for that. And of course, the lead creep, who is the head cheerleader for Donald Trump in the House of Representatives now, is Kevin McCarthy of California. Turns out that there may not be any photos of Lev and Igor and Kev, but, well, Lev felt a sense of, oh, I don't know, loyalty to Kevin McCarthy. He gave $2,700 to McCarthy's reelection campaign. Lev Parnas did. And he also gave $2,700 to Pete Sessions, named in the indictment of Lev and Igor. Do you suppose when Rudy called him that Igor responded, "Yes, master, yes." Lev has also made a habit of giving donations to lots of state Republican parties all over the country. He also gave to the Trump Great America Super PAC. I mean, it's quite a list. Great America Committee, $5,000. Kevin McCarthy for Congress, $2,700. Protect the House, $11,000. National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, $3,300. Pete Sessions, $2,700. National Republican Campaign Committee, $500. North Carolina Republican Party, $661. Republican Party of Minnesota, you know, where Trump's going this evening. That's $661. New Jersey Republican Committee, $661. South Carolina Republican Party, $661. Tennessee Republican Federal Election Account, $661. Connecticut Republican Party, $661. Wyoming Republican Party, $661. Republican Federal Campaign of Pennsylvania, $661. California Republican Party, $661. Missouri Republican State Committee, $661. Republican Party of Wisconsin, $661. Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., $2,700. New York Republican Federal Campaign Committee, $661. Republican Party of Virginia, $661. North Dakota Republican Party, $661. Mississippi Republican Party, $661. The West Virginia Republican Party, $661. The Alabama Republican Party, $661. The Republican Party of Louisiana, $661. The Illinois Republican Party, $661. Whoa, Trump victory, $50,000. The Kansas Republican Party, $661. The Republican National Committee, $33,400.
Huh.
That's a right smart amount of money. There's got to be something going on with that 661. Numerology, asks Jim. It had to do with some sort of rule, I suspect. Ron and Raleigh, going back to the F-35 assembly. You asked earlier about F-35 construction. Main assembly is a mile-long assembly plant in Fort Worth, Texas. Final assembly and checkout is done in Cameri, Italy, and Nagoya, Japan. Nothing in South Carolina. Oh, they got it. They got 11 components being built there. Steve in New York asking, could it be, I mean, really this time? I feel like I've seen this, the GOP are finally falling away meme before. However, is it possible that we're finally seeing cracks in the dam for real? It's just, it's kind of like climate change, Steve. It's happening too slowly to watch in real time, but you know that the effects will ultimately be easily discerned. Yeah, Scott in San Diego going with numerology route, too. Shit, Bob, these inept fuckers can't even manage to get the numerical designation of the mark of the beast right. Well, see, but these guys are orthodox, probably. And the Orthodox and the Western Church, hell, they can't even agree on when to have Easter or Christmas. So there's that. By the way, going back to the California electricity crisis, Dave wrote in a little bit ago, here on the California coast, PG&E decided to restore our power this morning. The wind had howled through here at about 10 miles per hour during the emergency. As soon as Humboldt was warned the juice might be cut on Tuesday, we all jumped in our cars and hauled ass down to the gas station and got in line because we couldn't think of anything else to do, I guess. Our power is shut off due to the fact that the coast no longer generates enough of their own power to stay online during grid shutdowns elsewhere. Our grid connection runs through Sparky's County, where they actually had some cause for concern. No Shasta County power means no Humboldt County power. Our house is the only one on the block with PV on the roof, photovoltaic solar, and a battery inside. We missed 0 seconds of outlet power during the crisis, and I didn't even have to crank up a generator. Switching from photovoltaic to battery to grid is all automated. For the price of a decent used car, we lived normally and strung extension cords to the neighbors. Pretty cheap investment in light of current and future shenanigans expected from our friends on the other side of the electric meter. I'm glad, Dave. I'm glad. And Scott says, okay, maybe 661 is the metric mark of the beast. Russia is on the metric system, right? Right. You get the idea there may be a few heads roll out of this. But remember, it's the Trump Justice Department that's handling the prosecution, so I wouldn't get too worked up too fast. Regarding terrible and despicable, Brother Deacon Asa says, this is where I always thought Hillary was wrong with her basket of deplorables comment. Deplorable doesn't begin to address what a maggot is really about. They're a basket of despicables. So, too, you know who else Trump has a picture with? The pack of Russian hookers pissing on him in the hotel room. They only peed on the Obama's bed, my left foot. You never know. Oh, and while there's no photo, or while there is a photo, and while Julius Geezer said, I've got a photo with everybody. Well, he didn't have dinner with everybody. But in point of fact, Lev and Igor have had dinner with dipshit Donnie. It was after they gave together the Republican campaign committees about $500,000. America First Action that got that 325 large, that's run by a former Trump cabinet member. According to USA Today, in May 2018, Parnas posted pictures on Facebook of himself and Fruman with Trump in the White House and with his son, Beavis, in California. That was the same month their company, Global Energy Producers, LLC, was credited for giving $325,000 to a campaign committee that supports Trump's reelection. Oh, and guess who counsel is for Lev and Igor? Trump's former lawyer, John Dowd. The Associated Press called John Dowd for a comment, and the minute he said, John Dowd speaking, they said, this is the Associated Press calling about the case, and John Dowd hung up. And there it is, the photo of Lev and Igor and Beavis at the polo club, polo room in Beverly Hills. Polo lounge. It was breakfast. And Don's just sitting there looking like the moron that he is while everybody else is grinning like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush. You see, what Lev and Igor were doing, among other things, was trying to direct business, natural gas business in Ukraine, to Trump cronies. The exact thing that Trump claims Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were up to. Whenever Trump complains about somebody doing something, you can bet your last damn dollar that he's already done it. Because that's how it works in projection world. And by the way, the money that came from Lev and Igor, came from some Russian businessman. The indictment refers to him as foreign national one. That's so as not to confuse anybody with individual one, who is Donald Trump. Individual one, according to the indictment, is a foreign national Russian citizen and businessman who at all relevant times was not a citizen or lawful permanent resident of the United States. And it was his money that they gave to the Republican committees and so forth. And, you know, Pete Sessions of Texas and maybe the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy. And here's the sickening part of it. Another one of the little projects that Lev and Igor were in, and their Russian national buddy, foreign national one, they were looking to set up a medical marijuana business. Jesus. Lev and Igor, along the way, also helped set up a meeting between Giuliani and Yuri Lutsenko, who was the one who claimed he had dirt on the Bidens. Jesus, God. And after running his mouth so freely for so long, all of a sudden, Rudy's gone all silent. I can't comment yet. That'll probably last about halfway down into the vodka bottle. So we are well into the third hour of the program. That's a hell of a filibobster. And we've got $430 to go in fundraising, and this is another one of those hard months. So it would be nice if we weren't putting together some sort of really terrifying community-made miracle. Can we at least knock out the $30 part so that we're only looking at $600 tomorrow to finish the week? In other words, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I hope so. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live and the PayPal interface over there. Yes, Terrace, really. Let's Cinco? Yes. The goddess of, I'm telling you, the goddess of irony is busy, 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 busy right now. Meanwhile, over to the Skype line, Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, honey. I probably won't be able to talk long.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I just had to.
No. Baby, it's okay.
There's
it
a bunch
fine.
Of shit
I don't know
to
how
get
long...
through.
No, it's okay. I'm out here in Palmdale in the middle of a, it's not as windy as I thought it was going to be out here. I did a field trip. I'm waiting for a bunch of little white kids running cross country because, you know, black kids don't do that shit. Just kidding. There is one black kid. I saw him on the team. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to check and make sure he just didn't have a really good tan. But he had an afro. So, and it was, so I figured he was really black, but no, the winds have been, they have been crucial out here today. It's really bad. So much so that, they were threatening, like I said, we have down here in Southern California, we have two power companies, DWP and Southern California Edison. And like PG&E up in Northern California, Southern California Edison was threatening to turn off power in various parts of L.A. County, one part being Antelope Valley, which is Palmdale, Lancaster, where we are now, and Chatsworth. But they didn't. But it was so windy today. Jan was terrified about me driving on the 14, which is... the wind was so bad coming out here. I was holding on to the car, the steering wheel for dear life because the car was swaying as I was driving. I mean, this is the kind of shit that, you know, topples over big rigs. That's just
so,
how windy it was.
Yeah. So, I sent you that photo of the bridge here, you know,
yeah, that's some bullshit.
It was beautiful. Imagine crossing that thing in 75 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. And like I said, before you showed me that bridge, I said, that's one of those bridges that motherfuckers jump off of and bungee jump on purpose, right? And you're like, yeah. I am so glad that I married a white woman who does, you know, because that's white people shit. I mean, I know, yes, I know there are black people who do that kind of stuff, but there's a very small percentage of black people who do that. And I am grateful to God that I married the same white woman who does not believe in doing that kind of stuff. My sister, on the other hand, married a white man that does that kind of stuff. Me, thank God, my wife thinks it's stupid. Thank God. Jesus, thank you. Because, man, no. I don't understand the people who go on vacation. This is your vacation, and you go and do shit that you could die doing. And you consider that fun. Like whitewater river rafting. Why are you going to get on a small boat that you have to wear helmet?
The new river is fairly benign. I mean, there's some rapids and stuff, but they do a real good job of keeping people safe, and it's apparently a lot of fun. I've never done it because I'm chicken.
Mm-hmm. In general, isn't there a chance that for like you said, some of them are benign, but for the most part, that shit, there's rocks and shit.
Oh, that's why you wear a helmet.
But see that point? That my point exactly. I don't want to do anything that I gotta wear a helmet for fear if I. First of all, for fear that I might get tossed off the motherfucker. And a life jacket? No, no, no. Did I say no?
You said no.
No. No.
That's a big negatory, rubber duck.
That's no. No. I see the thing. See, like, you know, that stuff like camping, you know. My idea of roughing it is going to a hotel where there's no room service. Yes, I'm a diva to a, I mean, and I'm not really even that much of a diva, seriously. I mean, as long as it's a clean bed and, you know, I'm not even tripping like that. But I just, indoor plumbing is very important to me. I remember the first time I went to visit my great-great-grandmother in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I heard stories about outhouses and shit. And I'm like, excuse me? Of course, by the time I went to visit, she had indoor plumbing. But back in the day when my mom went to visit, yeah, it was outhouses.
I'm like, I remember when this dwelling still had one.
See, no! Again, no!
The room, now this house was built in 1937. And the room that now houses the one bathroom in the house was a closet. It was everybody's closet. My grandmother's, my grandfather's, my mother's, my sister's, my aunt's. Everybody hung their clothes in one room. And there was an outhouse outside. Now, by the time I came along, they'd gone the whole indoor plumbing route.
Nope. See, nope. No. No.
But I mean, technically, an outhouse is indoors.
Bob, if I have to walk my happy black ass outside to go inside someplace to go,
And if there's a stack of corn cobs or an old Montgomery Ward catalog waiting on you.
Or Sears and Roebuck or JCPenney? No! No. No, no. See,
and spiders.
These are the things.
Spiders.
And spiders and snakes. No. See, again, these are the things that I do not condone. So that's, you know, and believe it or not, I have not. See, when I was younger and could squat without hurting something, I did go backpacking. See, I've done these things. I've been backpacking. I've been camping. But see, that was before I knew better. I was a child. So, shit, I wasn't even really a teenager yet. So, yeah, nope. Mm-mm. I'm 53 years old, Bob. That shit, Pat, nope. Mm-mm. No outhouses, no camping, no sleeping on the ground. Mm-mm. Nope. I've earned the right to sleep in the bed. I've earned the right for indoor plumbing. None of that shit seems sound fun to me at all.
Yeah, but see, when you don't have it, you appreciate it so much more.
Whatever, Bob.
Not buying.
No! Nothing you can... And again, I'm married to a woman who agrees with me 120,000%. So I don't even have to worry about her even trying to convince me of otherwise. Other than, like I said, the conversation that I had with her the other day. Her and my other well-meaning white friends about how much better it is for black people in Texas. Yeah, we had, I'm like.
Yeah, that's a non-starter.
That's a non-starter. Yeah, and because I said, just ask Sandra Bland, and I forgot about bringing up Malcolm John. So it's like, fuck you. I'm not, again, well-meaning white people. Yes, our money would go so much further in Texas. Yeah. And I thought, oh, but Austin is so beautiful. Yes, but it's still in fucking Texas.
Now, don't go pissing off the Texas contingent of the Horn Community Family Congregation.
Even the people who live in Texas still say, but it's still in fucking Texas. is John Bridwell. He still says it. The blue dot. There's, you know, there's blue dots all over the country, but there's dots. No. I live in California for a fucking reason. I would love to live somewhere, you know. I just was on hold. I'm fighting. I have this thing that went into this bill that went into collections, and it should have gone into collections. And I got it off my credit report 2 years ago, and the motherfucker sold it to another company. And I'm now back fighting with these people. And so, but see, in California, we have the statute of limitations is 4 years that they can actually legally collect on a debt. See, that's another reason why I live in California, because we actually have consumer protection in my state. You know what I'm saying? It'll, yes, legally it can stay on my credit report, but it's going to come off eventually because I'm fighting with it. But still, you know, and they know these things. So it's like, the state that I live in, there's no such thing as utopia. There's some bullshit here in LA and California. LAPD is, you know, it's full of shit. Jackie Lacey, our district attorney, I have no words for her. And Clayton Kershaw is an idiot. Did you see that picture I sent you?
Yes.
On the choker. I have no words for what happened last night. Jan is beside herself.
You're getting a big amen from Jim. Jim says yes.
Oh, which
nothing glamorous about having one's ass in the grass. Been there for real.
No! And then I'm a female, so you know there's a whole lot of things that come into. See, at least if you're a man, you can whip it out, piss, and you're good. See, it's not easy for a woman to squat and piss. Come on, no. 1,000 fucking times, no. There's nothing cute or easy or glamorous about that.
Humanity did not do all that evolving just to have you turn around and go out and backtrack.
No, exactly. So you know what? I'm good. I am so 100% good. They made indoor plumbing for a reason. I am happy about it. Thank you, Jesus, for that. My ancestors did, you know, had to do all that stuff in fields, picking cotton and all that stuff. And they did all that stuff just so I can have indoor plumbing. So you know what? They took it for me, so I don't have to worry about that. But I'm good. Mm-mm. I know that's not why, but I don't know. I'm not doing it. No. Now, I have to say, now, when I was seriously into running, when I was, you know, when I would get into my runner's high, and I would, you know, because I ran a marathon and a half marathon, and because you get seriously hydrated, and there would be miles where there was nowhere to go, and you would have no choice. And you just, well, if you, okay, and well, dinner's already ruined for, I'm pretty sure you've done stuff because I'm just kidding.
Actually, I've been surprisingly non-disgusting this evening.
Well, see, when you're a runner and you got to go, you just go. If you're a serious runner, and I used to be a serious runner. I'm not a serious runner anymore. I'm a fair to middling runner.
You're a hobbyist.
You know. I'm a hobbyist at this point. I don't ever think I will become a serious runner ever again. I'm just, you know, I'm doing my level best, and considering how, you know, how long it had been since I ran on, I mean, seriously, almost 20 years. Oh no, it'll be 20 years next year since I seriously, you know, really ran. So considering that, I think I'm doing pretty fucking great. But hey, man, Bob, I was one of those assholes that ran in the rain, dude. But I was slicker. No,
wait,
no.
Wait,
I was in the rain.
No, wait a minute. I heard that. You just said, dude. That was so.
Oh, you've never heard me say dude?
No, I've heard you say dude, but that was special. That was dude. That was very valley. Did.
Did. Yes, I was one of those ones. I would be running in the rain. That's just how hard. I was hardcore. Run in the rain. Didn't care. Even not like, no, I'm not saying like running and it start raining and I would continue to run. No, it would be raining. I would walk outside and start running regardless. It wasn't like, oh shit, it's raining. I'm running and it starts to rain and I would continue my run. And I would continue my run rain. No. It would be raining in the morning or whatever. And I would just still go out and run. Cause it's not like, you know, it's not like we really have to run. Lightning storms isn't something that is big in LA. So it's not like something that we really have to worry about kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I would go running in the rain. And it's awesome to run in the rain. And it's not like I have a press and curl. And people who, okay, for white people, do you guys know what a press and curl are? Okay, so a press and curl, do you guys have an equivalent? Because you know what a press and curl is, don't you, Bob, or do you?
Not sure. I mean, okay, my daughters went through that crimping and heating and flattening and ironing business.
Okay, so it's kind of the same thing. A press and curl for black, it's kind of like what UI people do with the iron, the thing, the crimping thing. But see, it's a pressing comb. It's a thing you put on. It's a metal comb, and you put it on heat, and you straighten your hair. So if your hair gets wet, it goes back to its natural state. And of course, now I got to go, because I got people in the car. But anyway, I'm going to do 50 dollar challenge.
Well,
so yeah, because I'm awesome like that. So $50 challenge to get this rolling, because it's ridiculous that I didn't realize that the fundraising had gotten that bad for the week because I hadn't really been listening. So $50 challenge to get things going. Hopefully somebody will come up with the rest of the money and get things going. So
Tracy's $50 running in the rain challenge.
Yeah, Tracy's $50 running in the rain challenge. Hopefully somebody will match that money. And I'm out. I love y'all. And I'll listen to the rest of the program as I'm driving.
Well, you have a safe trip home, Tracy.
I will, my love. Talk to you soon.
Bye now. So there it is. In the remaining moments of the program, we have Tracy's $50 running in the rain or $50 no outhouses challenge. You can respond either way you prefer. But, yeah, if we can come up with 50 bucks, Tracy will add 50 to it, and that'll take us down to only 330, which means tomorrow will only be 530 to finish the week. A little bit of breaking news this afternoon on the way toward the end of the program. At this point, I don't know. I wish I was better with databases and spreadsheets and shit like that, but I'm just not that hip. We need something to keep up with the corruption. Because now it turns out that Attorney General Bill Barr to prosecution had a little sit-down with Rupert Murdoch. I mentioned earlier how Trump tweeted, "Fuck sucks, they suck." Because, you know, he's got the emotional age of, he's about 9 at best. First grade is 6 to 7, 7, yeah, third grader, about 9. They suck. They're not saying nice things about me. They suck. Well, the Attorney General of the United States, clothed with the awesome power of that office, used his power to sit down with Rupert Murdoch because the 9-year-old isn't happy. The 9-year-old Sudafed monkey isn't happy. No kidding. It's just plain dirty. It was a private meeting yesterday evening. And nobody really knows if there was anybody else in the room. Aides for both parties they were all clammed up. And it has to do, it kind of had to have to do with the fact that Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has been a little less than obsequious in regard to Nitwit Nero of late. Rick Wilson, a never Trump Republican who does have a gift for a witty riposte, said, "I want you to imagine the reaction of Republicans everywhere if Eric Holder held secret meetings with media CEOs. I'll tell you what it would be, just to save you some time. There would be a damn gibbet erected on the White House lawn." And closed by saying, "John Mitchell's ghost is laughing down in hell." And it's the truth. Well, we could also call it that in the remaining moments of the program. Scott in San Diego points out, we might could call it Tracy's Rough as a Cob Challenge. That too. So they're trying to warm up the maggots to a tender turn out in Minnesota. And I guess Beavis wasn't available, so Butthead came along instead. Uday wasn't available, so they brought Kusei instead. You know, not too long back, I saw a story that said Don Jr. was out there running his mouth about how, "Oh, we've never done international business." And then, of course, Eric ruined it and said, "Ah, sure we have." But the maggots are in rare form. Here, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way.
You know, guys, I was on the campaign trail in 2016 with my father. We went all over the place, and we campaigned as a family, and we fought like hell. And I am telling you guys, we are stronger today than we were in 2016. And we are going to win this state. Make no mistake about it. How do you think Elizabeth Warren is feeling right now as she sees this crowd? I don't think she's feeling too good. No, yeah, boo. Yeah, that's boo. Right. How do you think Joe Biden and his, how do you think his son's feeling right now, right, after embezzling a lot of money, taking a lot of money, the crookedness, right? He's not looking too good either.
Little note there for Otne Ute Aitbrei, if you own a what I ain't may, Eric Trump. Allegations of criminal conduct fall under something called slander per se. In other words, you don't even have to prove damages. Hunter Biden is, for all intents and purposes, a private citizen. You can make a compelling argument that he would not be constrained by things like New York Times versus Sullivan or Falwell v. Hustler. He's not out there trying to be a public figure. He's trying to be a private citizen. He was at no time a part of the federal government. And Eric Trump just accused him of embezzlement. It would soothe my soul if Hunter Biden would sue him for Well, sue him for what he thinks he's worth and then get judgment against him for what he's worth after he commits bankruptcy, or files, not commits, files bankruptcy. Embezzlement. On the same day that Rudy Giuliani's shakedown team, who were working for Donald Trump, his daddy, get arrested for campaign finance violations, for funneling Russian money into the Republican Party. You know, just like the Republicans have been doing since about 2015, if not before. Nonetheless, the maggots, you know, the kind of folks who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, well, they were there for the spectacle.
Yeah, maybe lock her up goes to lock him up. I don't know. It might lock him up. I don't know. I like lock her up a little bit more. But thank you. That's a good idea. I like that idea. Hey, guys, we don't need to lock him up. We're just going to beat the hell out of all of them. We're going to win. You know why? Because America is winning again. Because of my father, America is winning again.
Yeah, like farmers in places like Minnesota, where they're getting welfare from an FDR program that pays them 23 cents on the dollar for what they'd get on the open market, back when there was an open market, before his daddy started a stupid trade war with China. I know, Kyle. I know. Kyle says, goddamn, the level of stupidity they exhibit on a daily basis never ceases to make my head hurt. Oh, Lord, I know. And the camera panned through the crowd there. And if it weren't for the maggot shirts and whatnot, and the hats, if you panned through the crowd at a professional wrestling match and played them side by side, you could not tell the difference between the two. Because these are bored people. These are bored people of little imagination, less creativity, and even smaller IQ. This is the bread and circuses crowd. The only thing is, won't be long before they're having a hard time getting the bread. But this family of grafters and grifters and hustlers and con artists and philanderers and fuckers and cheaters, well, they'll keep on giving them the circuses. Jesus. Oh, and just one other little tidbit to file away. You remember when we had the statement in court by lawyers for Deutsche Bank that, yes, indeed, they did have Donald Trump's tax records from his loan applications? Well, now, Deutsche Bank has written a letter to the federal court. And despite the fact that people who used to work for Deutsche Bank and people who still work for Deutsche Bank told the New York Times and their financial reporter David Enrich that they have portions of Trump's returns for a lot of years, well, the letter from Deutsche Bank now says that Deutsche Bank mysteriously doesn't have any Trump tax records. Troy Gravitt, who is a Deutsche Bank spokescreep, said, "We remain committed to cooperating with authorized investigations." And I guess Deutsche Bank will determine which ones are authorized. You know, destroying evidence because you just got a subpoena could be devastating in a nation of laws. It could be devastating for a bank. How do you square those two up? Yes, we have them. No, we don't. Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. I guess the reason Don Jr. isn't at the Clavering rally in Minnesota is because of that. Well, could it be because of that inconvenient photo of him at the Beverly Hills Polo Lounge breakfasting away? You think? Maybe just a little bit? I know. So here we are at the end of the program. Thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth just knocked out half of Tracy's running in the rain challenge, or Tracy's, what was that, Scott? Well, no outhouses for Tracy challenge. We're halfway there, and that'll take us down to 3:30 on the evening if we can get another $25 in. It would be most helpful if we could. Yeah, there's other stuff out there, but we don't really have time for it. See if we've got something in the way of a kicker to wrap up with. I don't think we've really got any kickers. Oh, well, this isn't happy talk for the end of the newscast story or anything, but we didn't really have, we kind of had climate change news based on the power outages in California, because California has a hard time not catching fire anymore. Oh, and the reason they're having the maggot rally tonight in Minnesota is because of the Democratic debate this evening. But just to keep on top of things, there's a new study out by the Audubon Society's research arm. Chief Conservation Officer David O'Neill says, "Our findings in this report are the fifth alarm in a five-alarm fire. The warning being that about two-thirds of North American birds will go extinct if global warming hits 3 degrees Celsius. Orioles, eagles, grouse, gulls, and 385 other species of bird will disappear from North America. 64% of 604 species. They are all either highly or moderately vulnerable to climate change. No more Baltimore Oriole. How about a world where the only Baltimore Oriole is the one on the baseball team shirt down in the cellar? Is there some good news out of this? Yes, there's some good news. If we can keep warming at or below 1.5 degrees Celsius, only 24% of those 604 species will go extinct. You know, we have hawks here, and a lot of mornings when I go outside, or if I'm outside, you know, making toast or grilling sandwiches or whatever, I will have the sublime pleasure of watching hawks in the skies above the mansion here. And whatever I'm doing, I usually stop and watch them, because they call to each other. And it's unlike any other bird call. I like to think they're mating pairs. And I know that since about 90% of their brain is dedicated to their vision, they're looking for supper. So I usually try to make myself as big as possible and go, "Hi, guys, gals, Mr. and Mrs., Mr. and Mr., Mrs. and Mrs., whatever. I'm real big. Don't eat me." And so far, they haven't. I'd like to go on living in a world where my grandchildren can feel that majesty, that sense of wonder. Because when you get up into your mid-50s and stuff, being able to access that sense of wonder is really pretty important. It's what keeps the world interesting. So that's it for the evening. Hopefully somebody will jump in alongside Elizabeth and we'll knock out Tracy's challenge. That would be tremendous. Thank you, Elizabeth, again. And thank you to Gary earlier in the evening, and thank you to Will in Chicago, and thank you to Anatole for helping us knock it down as far as we did. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve in the chat room this evening. Sparky, if you don't have power, I hope you get it back real soon, brother. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And I love you, son. Later.